It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Kia ora, Jamie Lee. How are you going?
Hey, Kelly. Nice to talk to you.
You too. What's going on in your life?
I'm down in Blenheim today, actually. There's a conference going on that I'm involved in, so just with a few people, but found a nice quiet room to chat to you.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We will get straight into it. I've seen a little bit from you in the media this week on the raising fuel prices. Obviously, as transport spokesperson, that's your domain. What can you tell us about the transport minister not backing down on his fuel tax increases?
Well, pretty much the problem we have is that the price of petrol is going up and up and up. It's rising quite fast. And when the government proposed new tax increases, petrol was about $2 a litre. Now looking at about $2.30 around the country, it's heading towards $2.50. Some commentators say it could get up to $3 a litre. And so we're saying to the government, hey, if you're concerned about fuel prices, and New Zealanders certainly are, then the biggest threat to increasing fuel prices right now appears to be the government's new taxes. They are proposing another 25 cents a litre in additional and new fuel taxes. That's quite an imposition on people. They're already feeling the pinch at the petrol pump. Prices are going up, and the government's saying they want to do some monitoring. But if they really cared about petrol prices, they should, in fact, be abandoning their plans for new increased taxes. Now, the next question that I'm sure you're going to ask me, Kelly, is, well, what about the projects that they wanted to do? In Auckland, where the regional fuel tax is being proposed, our argument has been the whole way through that Phil Gough promised 3 to 6% savings within his council. He promised that in his campaign, and he said it after he was elected too. He only needs to achieve 4% savings to achieve the same amount of revenue that he'd collect in new taxes. So if Phil Gough implemented his election promises, we wouldn't need a new fuel tax. If the government recognised that people are feeling the pinch at the petrol pump, they shouldn't be going through with their new petrol taxes either.
Sort of as you mentioned, you know, on the projects and everything, I feel like we've talked that through in previous times. So I wanted to kind of touch on a comment that you'd made that says there is speculation that fuel companies across the country are raising their prices ahead of the Auckland regional fuel tax. Where is that sort of ideology coming from?
Well, the Ministry of Transport, in their advice to Phil Twyford, said that a real risk with a regional fuel tax is you get price spreading. Effectively, it's the fuel company that pays the tax based on the amount of fuel that they're distributing. And so when you go and fill up at the pump, they effectively giving you petrol that you're paying for, then the amount that they collect and they have to pass on to the government. What they have done in the past, and what the ministry suggested would likely happen, is that they would go and spread the cost of that around the country. So they would effectively be charging people more in the South Island, for example, to contribute towards the regional fuel tax in Auckland. What we're seeing, and what some monitoring websites and organisations are suggesting, is, and the media as well, are suggesting that petrol companies appear to be getting ahead of the game, and they're increasing prices in different parts of the country whilst this debate about regional fuel taxes are going on. It's quite easy for them to lift their prices in different parts of the country in anticipation of a new regional fuel tax. But also, because when people go to the petrol pump and they see fuel prices going up, because there's a debate in the country around fuel prices, it's easier for people to blame the government when, in fact, the petrol company may be getting ahead of the game themselves.
Right.
So the petrol companies, they're quite smart. They've got some good strategies there. I suggest that they're probably not playing ball in the way that we'd want them to.
Is there any way to sort of make sure that that doesn't happen, or you know, regulation around rising prices, or is this sort of their own game and they can do whatever they like?
The best thing that can happen for petrol prices for consumers right now is for the government to abandon their petrol tax increase proposals, because if they go ahead with what they're suggesting they'll do, that'll add another 25 cents a litre onto the price of petrol for people around the country. They're passing a law in the next month to do exactly that. And so I say the government should abandon their plans. When Megan Woods, the Minister of Energy, says, well, we're going to monitor fuel prices and we may give the Commerce Commission more powers, they can make an immediate decision right now that will mean New Zealanders won't have to pay more on petrol prices in the future, and that's abandon their tax, because it's not necessary. It's going to hurt people a lot.
Do you think, I mean, obviously, Obviously, you don't agree with these increases. If we're trying to find some sort of positive, I mean, it looks like they're going to go through anyway. So if we do find a positive spin on this, do you think there is there'll be a push towards public transport, or that more people will, you know, stop, will find alternatives to driving cars? Do you think we're going to see a bit of a decline in people even using their cars, or is it just going to go on business as usual?
I think the question you're asking is the wrong one. It's how do you get more public transport, and can you achieve more public transport without the need for more taxes? And I say yes. When we were in government, we were starting to deliver more public transport. We're the government that invested in the City Rail Link, and that work's underway. We're the government that were pushing ahead with more busways. And the key difference between what Labor is doing and what we were doing as government is Labor wants to spend $6 billion on trams. Phil Twyford's own officials were telling them, and this is in the Herald this week, that rapid buses would be more beneficial on a cost-benefit position than trams. And so the ministry are telling Phil Twyford that effectively the amount of money he wants to spend on tram isn't the best use of that money. And so we're being taxed more. People around the country are going to be taxed more to pay for trams down Dominion Road and to go out west when they are one of the most expensive forms of public transport possible. We could achieve more, protect that route, and get public transport in faster with a busway. And that's what I support. That's what we were working towards. And I think that Phil Twyford really needs to, in light of rising fuel prices, advice from his own officials, which we know he doesn't agree with, but advice from his own officials that a busway would be more beneficial and it wouldn't cost as much.
Moving on to what happened a little bit earlier in the week in the House. Paula Bennett walked out of the House on Wednesday. Why was that?
Because she's frustrated at the way in which the Speaker's treating not just the National Party, but actually the Parliament. Look, the principle of, or the purpose of the Parliament is to pass legislation, but also to hold the executive to account. It's your whole three branches of government, politics 101. The legislature is there to hold the government to account. Question time is a key mechanism for doing that. And the role of the opposition is to test the government, is to inquire into what the government's doing. And the way in which the Speaker has been treating opposition MPs has been deducting questions, taking away our ability to question the government. We have strong reservations against. We're also very concerned about the stories that have been in the media recently about a comment that was supposedly made by a National MP against the Prime Minister, which I agree, if it was made, was the wrong comment to make and is condescending. But the only person that heard such a comment that was supposedly made was Trevor Mallard. He has said that it's been identified that he's the only person who's been to the media and said a National MP made this comment. The media have listened to the tapes. Gallery journalists have heard the tapes. No one has heard this actual comment, but the Speaker thinks it's been there. So for the Speaker of the House to be in a position where there's a high likelihood that he's been briefing the media against the opposition party in Parliament, that's wholly uncalled for and very inappropriate. And we think we deserve a fairer opportunity to do our jobs to ensure that the legislature is holding the executive to account, and we're not getting the opportunity that New Zealanders deserve to have happen in their parliament.
If we're being, you know, if we're looking at the nature of what the Speaker of the House is doing, you know, leading essentially, and
it's not his job to lead; it's his job to chair and in an impartial manner.
Yes. Well, okay. So chair a conversation and kind of regulate and make sure things don't get out of hand. Do you think that was the sense, you know, that's what happened in the last government for the Labor Party? Do you think that they have some similar feelings to maybe National in the last government?
Perhaps, but I think when you look back at all the speakers that have been in place in our lifetime, let's say, David Carter will probably be seen as one of the calmest influences on the Parliament that we've seen in a long time. Trevor Mallard, his desire to take away the ability for the opposition to question the executive in the legislature is impinging on our constitutional requirement to do our jobs to hold the executive to account. Governments should not go unchecked, and that's why a legislature is there. The opposition is there to question what a government does. If there's a disciplinary action that he wants to take, the time-honoured tradition of disciplining members of parliament that act inappropriately is to remove them, is to eject them from the parliament. Taking away the ability to do their job by questioning the government. And he's not just punishing one or two MPs, he's punishing 56 MPs with this action. And we're saying that we have a responsibility to do our jobs for New Zealanders, to hold the government to account. We cannot do it as well as we should do if the Speaker's going to continue acting in this manner.
If we're talking about fairness and promoting democracy, was it the right thing to do for Paula Bennett to walk out of the House in her frustration?
She was extremely frustrated by what she feels was a condescending approach taken with her. She is the second most senior woman in the Parliament after the Prime Minister. She was the Deputy Prime Minister 7 or 8 months ago. She's not somebody that should be spoken to in a condescending way or treated in a poor manner. She was standing up for her right to question the government.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Irregardless of if she's a woman, why, like, even if she was frustrated and she was standing up for her right to, you know, and she doesn't want to be talked to condescendingly, I understand that, but to walk out, was that the right action? Would you have done that if you felt condescended? Do we feel like if we're trying to get things done and we're trying to promote democracy and talk about fairness, is it right to just walk out of, you know, a very important proceeding?
She was extremely frustrated and she was demonstrating that and removing herself from that situation. I back her, and if I was in that exact same situation, I'd do the same thing.
Alrighty, beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jamie Lee, and we will chat to you again next week.
Hey, thanks, Kelly. Take care.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.